This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got too cute!
Yeah.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty and Show and Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Moneybags, who we'll hear from a little bit later, have the latest, and the latest is it is 5 o'clock fire, and that means in this segment, and I'm letting you know right now, in this segment, this is your final opportunity of the day, final opportunity of the week for you to have a chance to win four tickets, a four-pack of tickets to see Zach Top at this year's rodeo. You gotta wait till you hear the cue to call. That cue is not happening right now, but it will happen in this segment. So stay tuned and be ready for that. That is coming up. Your final chance of the week to win. And if you aren't able to win, don't worry. Next week, next Tuesday and Thursday, you'll have a chance on all the shows as well. It pays for you to listen to Sports Radio 610 throughout the day. But let's start here, Clint. The Chiefs. They plan to franchise tag Trey Smith with the hopes of being able to work out an extension with him. Sources tell the Kansas City Star. It is an intriguing move as Kansas City keeps one of its best players for $23.4 million on a one-year fully guaranteed deal. But as they said there, they're going to try to work something out. But that's what they would have to pay him. And that would be the highest paid contract by a couple of million by a guard. But I think this towards the Texans, Clint, is a clear thing. The Texans, I'd say, number one need with a bullet is interior offensive line. That is their number one need. And this was the top player in that field. I've seen him listed as the second or third prospect overall, not just interior. But this is the number one option there, and it looks like that is taken off the board for the Texans.
Yeah, look, it looks like it. I don't know if Kansas City's just buying themselves a little time to put a deal together and solidify that interior offensive line, or if it's a tag and trade type situation. It could be. I don't know exactly, but what I took from this is in my conversations with you, obviously looking a little bit more at the Kansas City Chiefs situation as it pertains to Trey Smith. Like, Ron, I can't help but look at this through a Texans lens. And one of the most prolific offenses that we've seen, a first ballot Hall of Famer at quarterback and coach, talking about Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, and a team that is every year, year in, year out, is either in the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship. It's hard for me to not look at things and say that their plan offensively, Ron, was to solidify the interior of their offensive line. They got Trey Smith. Look, they've got two of the best guards in the game and one of the best centers in the game. And unfortunately, Joe Tooney had to play tackle for a chunk of the season because their tackle situation was jacked up. But I look at that and go, okay, we're talking the right talk, because this is one of the most prolific offenses that is geared around a pocket passing quarterback. And they are rostered and structured. Their structure, their roster is of solidifying the inside, and I just firmly believe that's what the Texans have to do. So the more we talk about you know, solidifying this the interior offensive line for the Texans. The more teams that you look at that are having success, they've got that locked
That's
up.
That's interesting you say that. Like you could look and say the Chiefs and the Texans were in a very similar situation last year, right? Where their offensive line clearly was the thing that was the problem all year for both teams and ultimately let them down. Hell, the Texans had to take a tackle and make them a guard.
Yep.
The Chiefs had to take a guard and make them a tackle. They had to, you know, move some things around. And it wasn't just due to injury. It was just due to poor play with the guys who were originally out there. And ultimately, it did end the Texans in the divisional round, and ultimately it didn't help doing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs are a team that have much, much more money tied up into people.
Yeah.
Right? Chris Jones is the highest paid defensive lineman. Patrick Mahomes' is contract is shooting up to $66 million next year. You know, Travis Kelce's not cheap. Right, like they've got different. They're different. They're paying different guys more money. You would think they've already invested. Their center's the highest paid center. Their guard, their other guard, makes a lot of money. Their tackle, their right tackle, makes a lot of money. And what they are valuing with other free agents, they got a free agent middle linebacker, and Nick Bolton, who's important to them. Justin Reed's important. Trent McDuffie is in the same draft as Derek Stingley Jr., so he is coming up. But they are valuing a guard, even though they had issues. They are valuing that to put themselves on the hook to pay $24+ million. And I do think that is something to look at if anybody is thinking about, hey, maybe we just go cheaper, or we just find, all right, I don't know. The Chiefs, they are valuing it that much with all of the other things that they have that they're already paying and that they need. So to me, to go cheap is a tough one for not even just cheap, not try to go after the absolute best option.
Do everything you can to solidify your interior offensive line, or you're going to be in trouble. That's I don't mean throw you know, a couple of draft picks at it and hope it works. I mean, that's the thing though, Ron, is like, and I don't want to get too far off in the weeds on this, but the truth of the matter is we've heard D'Amico and Nick, and definitely Nick, multiple times talk about, man, the draft is a crapshoot, man. You don't ever know. You never know what you're getting. You can study these guys. You can evaluate these guys. You just never know, okay? Take what you said and now go apply that to some other position in interior offensive line.
Yeah.
Because you just can't afford it. You can't afford – CJ can't afford it. The offense can't afford it. You're not going to take a step forward if you don't address it and hit that bullseye. So, yeah, man, this is – I mean, I don't mean to run off in the weeds with the Trey Smith – tag announcement, but it does shed a little bit of light on the importance of that interior offensive line and the need for the Houston Texans.
Just to kind of keep it up, if he's off the board because he's going back to Kansas City, there's Drew Dalman, who's a center for the Falcons. Yep. Interior, Mekhi Becton, who was just guard on that Super Bowl team for the 6'7", 363, a physical player, a guard that they have listed as the number 5 offensive lineman. Willie Fris, or Fries, or whatever name, how do you ever say that, with the Colts as a guard. I don't know if that'll happen. Kevin Zeiter with the Lions is out there. Tevin Jenkins is a guard available for the Bears.
Yep.
So those are the guys coming behind them. Also, you talked about it earlier in the week, potential trade candidates that could be out there. So there are still guys there available, but it looks like they're going to have to move off potentially maybe the top option.
Casario seems to have a massive Italian brain.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this is the time. Caller number 12. Caller number 12. 713-572-4610. Caller number 12. Call in right now. Phone lines are open. You, if you're caller number 12, will win a 4-pack of tickets to see Zach Topp. You're hearing him right now at this year's Houston Rodeo. You will win 4 tickets. This is the final opportunity of the day. You've been doing it all day long on Payne and Pendergast, In the Loop, and now on the drive. Caller number 12, 713-572-4610. Phone lines are open. Tyler will take care of you, and hopefully you can be the recipient of that 4-pack of tickets to see Zach Topp. There it is.
5 o'clock fire.
Good luck, caller number. You'll join our guy Daryl from Alvin, who won earlier. You can win your four-pack right now. Tyler is about to take care of that. All right, Clint, we heard a little bit from the fellas today. The Astros, they took on the Mets, and they ended up losing that one 5-0. But we got closer. We saw some debuts, Clint, of Jeremy Pena. He got out there and played for the first time. So did the big fella, the best hitter on this team, and I think the best all-around hitter in the game, Yordan Alvarez, got three at-bats in there, went 0-3. Pena was 0-2. And then your guy, Christian Walker, he did get in again. He went 2-for-2 in this game and did some good things. Chaz McCormick played a little bit, but some of the guys, a lot of starters potentially were in this game. They lose 5-0, but the big thing is tomorrow, Clint, and that is us preparing and getting ready to see old Altuve in left field. That's the big one tomorrow.
Yeah, look, I think that's all that's left, right? We've seen Yordan, yep. We've seen Pena, we've seen obviously Christian Walker.
Right?
Some of the pitchers, obviously, you don't get all of those guys that quick, but I think Altuve in left is really all that's left to be seen. And is it not a hot topic? I would imagine it's going to be the lead on all the MLB shows and MLB talk tomorrow, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I've gone from what in the hell are they talking about, to that's going to look funny, right? And what about the arm? And like the initial shock, I guess, has worn off, and I'm borderline excited. I mean, I want to see the guy chase one down in a gap. I want to see the guy, you know, whether he can, you know, catch it and get somebody that's tagging, see what the arm looks like, and it's something that I literally look forward to watching. I don't know if I've ever looked forward to watching a spring training game, to be completely honest with you. Like, I look forward to turning it on and watch, especially knowing he's going to play 4 or 5 innings. They got my attention, no doubt.
Is there a play at second, third, or home? That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
See that. Also, if you're scoring at home and you're wondering, Chaz and Jake are combined 0-for-13, still trying to hunt down their first hits.
Kidding me, man.
0-for-13.
Chaz is going to piss me
Chaz
off.
Chaz and Jake.
With Chaz McCormick, I'm really leaning into, and I think
you're
it's
trying,
fair.
Man.
Well, no,
he's
look,
guy,
I know,
man.
I, but I know it's my guy. It's my guy. A little biased, sure. I mean, I'll admit that. But I do think it's fair, like, and I think it's real. I think guys respond to. Call it competition, call it whatever. Like, they respond differently, and I think he at times the lack of respect that he's gotten when he's played well, I think in the over the long haul has it's shown through too much. I think it's gotten to him, and now here he is. It seems like there is a golden opportunity for him to go out and play well and just literally be the everyday right fielder, like without a doubt. There's no rotating. You can be the everyday right fielder, and he's out here going 0-for-13. He's got Jake Meyer's numbers.
Are you kidding me? Him and Jake combined are 0-for-13.
The fact that we're sitting here and you have the ability to put his name in the same sentence with Jake and the same stat with Jake is the problem. Like, are you kidding me? The hell you doing, Chaz?
Jake is 0-for-7 in that. Hopefully they get it going,
man. You'll come at me about white boy Chaz. Yeah, Clint, I am.
5 o'clock fire.
I sure as hell hope this doesn't last a long time for both of those guys. Hopefully they get hot on this thing. All right, Travis Hunter has become one of the stories at the Combine, at least for the players that are there. And he spoke about the potential of going both ways. He said, it's something I've been doing for a long time, so I feel like I can keep doing it, Hunter said. That's not my job to figure out. I'd like to play both receiver and corner if they give me the opportunity to play both sides of the ball. I'll play both sides of the ball. He said it's super important to him to go number one in the draft. All right, Clint, first off, for you, when you watch him and understanding college is a different level, Colorado is a different level, the Big 12, And the Pac-12, which is what he was the year before, and Jackson State before that, is a different level. Do you get the sense that Travis Hunter Because we haven't seen this a lot in the NFL, Clint. I mean, hell, I think his coach Deion's the last guy we've really seen do it both. Do you look at him and think he is somebody that can actually play and play well, play at both?
Yeah,
both
absolutely.
Sides.
Look, there is no reason to doubt the guy that has shocked what should be the world. I cannot believe, right? He won the Heisman, so they didn't steal that from him. But Ron, I cannot believe that we live in a world where we got people that get paid millions of dollars to cover and evaluate and analyze the college football game. And it wasn't a bigger deal what this guy was doing. We cannot, like the biggest question mark, right, Ron, about going to the NFL and being able to do both. There's two question marks. Are you talented enough? I mean, everybody that I've seen in the draft say he's top 10, whether he plays corner or wide receiver. So clearly he's talented enough. The question that really should come before that is, does he have the physical ability to and when I say physical ability, I'm not talking about skill set. I'm talking about the ability to go that hard, that long, and play 130 snaps a game on a Saturday. Like, those are the two questions. And he has gone above and beyond proving that he has the answer to both of those questions is a resounding yes.
Man, he's great in the fourth quarter every time.
But there's no letdown in the fourth quarter. The more the kid plays, the better he is. And so, you know, with those two questions answered, the only thing remaining is, like, can he handle an offensive playbook at the NFL level and be able to do it mentally with limited reps, right, offensively? It's significantly easier to handle a college offensive playbook than it is a pro playbook, right? It's just that simple. It triples in size and information that you have to know like the back of your hand. So can he do that? I would think in a matter of time he can do that. Can he do it right away? I don't know. But to me, when you look at Travis Hunter, this is the golden goose, man. I don't care if you win games, lose games. I don't care who you are, where you are. This guy sells tickets. This guy gets your – he is on the ticker every time he touches the field, and you're getting free advertisement. If you're an organization – Travis Hunter plays both ways, and you sell it till the cows come
home. I'll be hot if he gets to a place where somebody forces him to just play one side.
I agree.
And he doesn't. We get that taken away from us as football fans. That would be really, really frustrating. All right. The big story that is brewing in the NFL right now with Matthew Stafford. It could be closer to the Texans' doorstep than you think. We'll discuss that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Meant to also pass along, Lance McCullers Jr. will throw his first live batting practice session of the spring Saturday at
Bury me in the H.
I'll be damned.
Yep. He lives. Getting real.
Real, real.
Throwing live BP. Said he was happy with the velocity. Doesn't take his time, no.
Come on, Lance.
Oh, get it in, Lance. Throw that thing again. I don't even remember what it looks like for him to pitch.
Well, I do. Big sweeping motion.
Do you? I can't remember it.
Great hair, too.
Is it still? Yeah, it's still. He's still got length.
Great flow.
The day he pitches again, I'm going to go to his coffee spot. And I'm not even a coffee drinker, but I am. The day he pitches again, I feel like we should all do that. Everybody.
I'm down.
The day he pitches again, really go and just sell out. They serve hard liquor there too, I believe.
Yes.
I think it turns into a bar in the evening.
What's it called?
I cannot remember, but I know they do adult beverages in the style salsa. Of coffee. Say brekkie?
Brekkie salsa. I think they sell brekkie salsa there. Yeah, I'm gonna go get some coffee, man. I hope he is, man. I want to see Lance get back and get right. But he will make his spring debut, but at least throw his first live bullpen session that's coming up. All right, I found it interesting. We had a conversation earlier about Matt Stafford, and there are plenty of teams, a good amount of teams that we have heard a connection to. By the way, like I heard Sean McVay come out the other day with, hey, we, you know, our first priority is to keep him.
Right.
You never know. Clearly, yo ass is just trade Matt Stafford. I mean, clearly, I believe yo that's what the thought is. But we've heard teams like the Giants, like the Raiders, like the Steelers, and now Indy and Tennessee have jumped into this mix, and obviously that is in the division, and that would change things. Obviously, for either one of the teams, it would change things more. But I found it interesting, Clint. You feel like it would change one of these teams so much so that at this point you would think that they were at least neck and neck with the Texans.
Absolutely.
Right now, who I believe many people – I don't think there is a team in a division that most NFL people believe have a bigger gap in their division than the Texans do with the yeah. rest of the group right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no. Without a doubt, if Matthew Stafford – if the Indianapolis Colts are serious about adding competition for Anthony Richardson, if they're serious about winning ball games, which I would think that Shane Steichen's on his last leg, I would think that Chris Ballard.
Yep.
I would think the general manager Chris Ballard is on his last leg. They're a team that I could see. They may be soft shoeing it right now so that they can kick around the quarterback carousel of what they're going to do and who's going to come in and yada yada yada. I'd be shocked if they're serious, which they've obviously made it public. Their quarterback, they're bringing in competition. It's going to be an open competition. Clearly, they're interested in the quarterback market across the board, right? I'd be shocked if that's the case and they're not at least entertaining Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford in Indianapolis would be a problem. Matthew Stafford in Indianapolis would definitely close the gap between the Texans and the rest of this division, between the Texans and the Colts. The Colts won 10 games 2 years ago with Gardner Minshew as the quarterback. They won, would they win 7 or 8 games last year? They won won 8 games last year with Anthony Richardson, who taps out and him getting benched. And what was it, Flacco? Mm-hmm. Was Flacco last year?
He got
Joe Flacco in jumping in there, and then they go back to Anthony Richardson like that. They still so is Matthew Stafford worth a couple of games in this division? Hell yes, absolutely, 100%. Right? Doesn't scare me near as much in Tennessee. Even though I'd hate to see it because I do think it. I mean, hell, that Tennessee beat you with Will Levis, so I mean, it scares me a bit there. But the Indianapolis
that did happen.
The Indianapolis situation is what scares me the most because you got a general manager and you got a head coach that got to win now. You got a quarterback that's clearly not ready to win right now. And you got a quarterback in Matthew Stafford who's on the market and it is going to be a 1 or 2 year deal. And so I would go Indy. Scares me more. As a Texans fan, it scares me more that he could potentially land in Indy, and more people are talking about that as the day goes
on. So for you, I want to get this straight, and I'm not saying you're off on this. It seems like you feel that the Colts are just good quarterback play away from competing, like seriously competing with the Texans.
Absolutely, 100%.
Like
yes.
if they got somebody like Stafford or somehow, which – you know, I know a lot of people don't see as likely. Somehow Anthony Richardson got it in year 3 or something.
Yeah.
That this team was, because what, they were 2 games behind them. But this division was decided a while back. They got swept by them. But you like the Colts that good, because coming into them, I feel like there is a large gap with this group. Like, as I said, and I agree with that. I don't know if there's another.
I think there is definitely a large gap, but you go from a quarterback that constantly hurts you and cost you games and cost you points and to a quarterback that not only eliminates that issue but is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback that can spin it with anybody in the league arm wise. So I think Indianapolis closes the gap in a major way with a move like Matthew Stafford
or good quarterback play. Like it seems like, and Matthew Stafford is, despite this person who just texted in that said Matthew Stafford was washed, Clint. It would not close the gap, especially with our top tier defense.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
I just wholeheartedly disagree with whoever that is. I mean, I watched the guy play in the playoffs last year. I mean, I just don't. I mean, it's He's not at his prime, but he still spins the football as well as anybody in the league.
Yeah, 3,700 yards last year, 20 touchdowns, 8 picks.
It was not a great year. I mean, it was not a great year. I mean, they weren't good early on. They came on charging late and ended up scaring the hell out of the Eagles in the divisional round.
Yeah, they played the Eagles tight. Yep. Yeah, I don't know, boy. Watch that damn Bills game. That game he played against the Bills and that game he played against the Vikings in the playoffs. That was I wouldn't call him washed. Now, no, is he the guy that was there in the Super Bowl? But when you say the Colts, you start thinking Jonathan Taylor back there, and you start thinking of Pittman and Alec Pierce, who, you know, we saw the deep play ability from him.
And what you do is you think about Indianapolis, and you just shrink, if you will, the breakdowns that are self-imposed from the quarterback position. Like, you just eliminate that damn near. And that in itself, they're going to be significantly better. Now, all of a sudden, you got whatever you think of Matthew Stafford, like, whether you think he's washed or you think he's still, he's got something left. Like, you get better the minute you sign him. Now, what does he have left in the tank? That's going to determine whether you can make a run at a Super Bowl or not. But in terms of closing the gap with the Texans, yeah, I think Matthew Stafford will do it immediately.
And Chris Ballard and them have done it. Like, they went and got an old Phillip Rivers and got an older Matt Ryan. But
I think Matthew Stafford is significantly better than those two guys when they were at that.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that Stafford is in the position that those two are in. Like, those guys, I think, were obviously a shell of themselves. I don't know if Stafford is that. I mean, we still saw rifle, no look passes.
Stafford will die being able to spin the ball better than both of those guys.
Like in death, you think he could have a chance?
He'll be 50 years old spinning the football better than those two guys. Damn sure the first one. What was his name?
Phillip Rivers.
Damn sure Phillip Rivers. I don't want to take too much away from Matt Ryan's prime, but
he doesn't have as many kids as him, though.
Neither of those guys have ever been able to spin the ball in the same category.
Phillip's more of a layer. He can layer the hell out of it.
He's a pushing some buck, boy.
He didn't have no choice but to layer. Layer that sucker in, boy.
That's it. He perfected the hell out of it.
Hey, man, I don't care what Phil always looked like he was giving 100% max effort on every throw, even the layered ones. Yeah. Like every one of them, he just looked like he was giving it everything. Like he was like at the wall trying to throw somebody out at the plate is what he looked like. Man, he put his whole body into that throw. That's just one. All right, coming up, let's make a little cash for you. T-Mills, best bets. Boy, he needs you. Well, you need him to turn it around. It's Thursday. He's got Thursday and Friday. He has fallen under the 60% number that we got to try to get up. Let's see if we can get some money back made and get on a good spot. Also, what we saw last night, I think we really learned something with the Rockets. We really learned something. And, hey, Jalen Green, are you ready to make this move? We'll discuss that next.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. I'm really surprised about the Stafford's wash thing. That is...
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, Kelly ain't. I don't know, maybe it'll hit him next year. I didn't see that. I did not witness. I've seen Wash. I think there's a couple of guys out there. I think there's some others in argument. But if you look at Russ, you can maybe argue that, you know, a little bit. I didn't see that from him. All right. Remember, stay tuned with us as we continue coming up behind us. Texas All Access as they will continue live from the Combine and Area 45. After those guys, 7-11, Area 45, Bajani, Creighton, and Santiago. Who's that, Andrew Siciliano?
Andrew Siciliano joining the fellas.
Oh, the guy with the ears.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember him from Red Zone.
Yes, that NFL. Yeah, he's got them ears. What's his last name again?
Siciliano.
Siciliano, yeah.
He's Italian.
So I knew that. His ears are too. Yeah, he's got some good ears. I like that, man. Don't let that
get down on some.
Don't let that get in your way, man. Don't let that get in your way. Good for him. But yeah, that'll be coming up. They'll be joined by him live at the Combine and make some money here. Started off all right.
Or then,
Chet went off a little bit. Started off all right, but
you know who would have won you some money?
Who?
Take you a wild guess.
Isaiah.
Harton.
Sucker hit the points over in the first half.
Mm. Yeah, man. I want to see what you have tonight. Some of these player props. Well, you may have to stay away from some of these guys that ain't involved in it.
Oh, I'll tell you now, I'm doing zero player props for tonight's best bet.
Some of these guys and some of these teams, they out here, they Cancun in this sucker. They waiting to get here.
Hitting on everything else. These damn player props. Screw off, Chet, ugly ass. These player props will have been screwing me.
He is a funny living dude.
And Chet played well.
Face only a mother.
Not looking. And then as you're right, we said it earlier. That Rockets game last night. I wouldn't say a big win. I'm gonna say that it's the Spurs without Wimby. They almost seem like they may be putting themselves in position to potentially get Cooper Flag, and that would be nuts if they had Wimby, Fox, and Flag.
Based on last night, they're damn sure gonna try.
Yeah, they were down early, but I know you had money on Şengün, and Şengün just wasn't really interested in the scoring thing last night. So
and 19 freaking minutes.
Yeah, 19 minutes.
Good
yeah.
God.
Udoka said, we're going to get you rested up.
Yeah, well, less minutes than the points I needed from it.
Yeah, well, it was an ass-kicking that occurred, and it was bright and early. As soon as that sucker went on, it came on. And I do think, Clint, that is a positive thing. As I said, a mature win, because they have sometimes played down to their competition at times, and right now they cannot afford seeding wise to start to drop some games. The Lakers and them have been virtually even here of late, and the Warriors are coming. The Warriors, they were in the 10th spot right before the All-Star break, and they are one out of the 6th spot at this point in the 8th spot. So they're coming. Obviously, we said the Lakers have kind of gone on a run. The Clippers, they're behind them. So they don't need to drop these games. But I thought it was big. They got out, and they got in their ass early and never let up. And this was never, ever a game.
Yeah, look, watching it, and I got bored late because they were up, seemed like 25 the whole damn game. Started out just up 15, then up 25. I was like, I'm done. This had AAU game written all over it. I mean, it was up and down as just give somebody the ball, get the hell out of the way. And I'll be honest with you, like, clearly, when you look at Alpi, when Şengün, clearly, I think there was some fatigue there. Like, he's obviously been going hard. But also, this was going to be how fast can you go, how hard, how long can you go? And they were having so much success with the more athletic guys just rolling up and down the floor. That there was no sense in even spending Alpi at that point in time. So, but a good mature win, good step on the throat of a team that had no business being on the floor with you and run away with it and make it a non-factor late, allowed some of your guys to get some rest in the fourth quarter, and they did that.
Yeah. No, there were some things, though, to me that I watched out of that game and kind of learned a bit, and that is, I don't know how you all feel, but I feel that this team right now is at its best if Amen Thompson is touching the ball and making more decisions than anybody else on the floor. Now, I don't know if he feels empowered or is comfortable of doing that. I know for you, you've seen a lot of up and down with him or just not even as much up and down, but the way that he attacks a game from night to night.
Well, it seems to me like it's – I don't know if it's his mentality is just inconsistent in terms of what he wants to – how aggressive he wants to be, or if it's the game plan. It seems like it's more of a game plan deal, to be completely honest with you. But, yeah, I mean, I just – trying to figure out where he fits and who he is. And I know he's awfully important, and I know he's going to be – you know, one of the keys to getting this thing where they want to go. But it's just, it's interesting. He looks like a different player every other night, depending on when you tune in. And I don't mean, I just mean a different player in how he attacks the game versus how passive he is night to night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But last night, that was it. Like, he shouldn't be passive. And they should empower him not to be passive. And I think a lot of people see it. If you watched last night, he was clearly the best dude on the floor. He was clearly the guy that was the most efficient. He led the team in scoring on 15 shots. And he was in the paint making plays for himself and others. And if he plays, and I think you're right on this, Clint, he does not play with that level of aggressiveness and just take charge way. If he plays like that, Clint, that team is at its best because he's going to make more decisions. Like, you could look at that, some of the Spurs, but you could look at that and say, down the stretch, final 4 minutes of the game, a tight game, like him getting to his spots, getting the ball, like that's what they need. And Udoka, I think, sees it, and I think they need to empower him. And the only person I think that may have a thing, and I can understand. Hell, I was the number 2 overall pick. I'm averaging over 20 a game. Like, I lead the team in scoring. That's Jalen Green. Like, I'm a guy too. But I think it's better if he's off the ball and Amen Thompson is making plays and making decisions. And I think that's when this team will finally reach and be at its best. Because you saw it yesterday. That was, I mean, he's getting to the rim at ease. I mean, he's dunking the ball. They could not play. I don't know. I don't remember them using him that much at like the elbow or at the top of the free throw line and just letting him go one-on-one.
You could just tell the offense was being ran through him. I'm more of a fan of that. I don't like him bringing the ball up the floor. I mean, I understand it'll happen from time to time. I'll be honest with you, I don't like the way the Rockets just, it don't matter who it is, anybody brings it up the floor. There's no rhyme or reason. They're just pushing it. I don't like Amen Thompson in that role. I love the offense being ran through him. I agree that he's the one that the ball needs to be in his hands more often. I agree that even if Jay's going to be the guy that brings it up, the ball still needs to go through Amen Thompson more often. But it seems almost, Ron, and you tell me more than I know because you watch it more, but it seems like it's almost like when I'm watching Amen Thompson, it's like the game plan is, all right, guys, everything's going to run through Alpi tonight. Everybody else, hey, Thompson, get out on the free throw line. On three-point line. Jabari, stay outside, right? And everything's going to go through him. And then all of a sudden, you're like last night for Jabari. I mean, he goes in there, and him and Amen Thompson both are just so much more active. Like, it's interesting to see, okay, where are we going to settle into Amen Thompson being the offense more often, or is it always going to be a rotation?
But I think a lot of it is potentially coming from, hey, should I take this?
Yeah, you made a great
should
point.
Should I take this? Is everybody okay?
He's worried about stepping on toes.
He's the youngest guy on the team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's the youngest dude, maybe. I mean, maybe Reed's younger, but he's the youngest guy on the team. And it's like, hey, I know I got an all-star center in Şengün. I've got Jalen Green. I've got Dylan Brooks, who, where the hell he got so hot that came from. I've got all these guys out here. Should I take it? And they need to be like, yes.
Yeah, they need to force it. Yeah.
They need to just empower him to feel comfortable doing, because that last night, that is them at their best.
Yeah.
That's them at their best. All right, coming up behind us again, Texans All Access is there live from the Combine. Mark and John Harris will get you there, and Area 45 following them 7 to 11. But let's win a little cash. Let's win a little money for the people.
Try to.
T-Mill, come on, man. Get it right today.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
Yeah, two nights in a row, last night and, of course, Tuesday night. 2 for 5 just ain't going to cut it.
That's not.
Got to get back on track tonight. I got 4 NBA wagers for today's best bets, and I ain't giving you any player props because that's been the problem child. Whenever it is broke, you do fix it. So no player props tonight. But here are my 4 NBA best bets for this evening. I got an over, first off. The Warriors, they're traveling to Orlando to take on the Magic. I'm on the over in the first half of that game. Over 104 in that one.
You talk about a team that's been hot.
Yes.
Yeah, that damn Golden State team.
No doubt.
They were back to running that beautiful offense. Everybody's moving.
And the Pistons, man. They've won 8 in a row.
Yeah, the Magic just got blown out by 40 last night by the Cavs.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's your first one.
For 2 nights.
Over in the first half for the Warriors and Magic. And by the way, I know I'm sucking on these player props lately, but for this month, I'm still killing everything else in NBA. I'm hitting over 60% on over-under bets.
Okay.
Going 29 for 48 so far this month.
Yourself. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I keep the numbers for a reason. Here are your last three best bets. T-Wolves are traveling to L.A. to take on the Lakers. Under in that one, under 228. Then I got the Hornets +9 as they travel to Dallas tonight to take on the Mavericks. And then I'm on the Bucks +4 versus the Denver Nuggets tonight. What do you like? What do you don't, boys?
I like the Bucks one, +4 against Denver at home. We just saw that team lose to the Rockets here at Toyota Center. I like that one a lot. I don't know. You know what? I think you're probably right on that T-Wolves-Lakers game. The Lakers have surprisingly been playing much better defense than we thought they would. Although my just nerves is just they're concerned to just go off. Like they're very capable of LeBron, Reeves, and Luka combining for like 75, 80 points, whatever. So that one's interesting. But the way they play defense, I like it. The Bucks different one is I like that one.
All right. Let's ride.
Do your thing, man. All right. Texans All Access, stay tuned as they're live from the Combine. Give me that report you can't get anywhere else. 7 to 11. Our guys. Area 45, stay tuned as we're live and local throughout. Clint, as always, great job. Tyler, great job. Thanks to Seth and Sean, who joined us from West Palm Beach. Remember, tomorrow, 9:20, Adam Spillane did his one-on-one with GM Dana Brown of the Astros. You don't want to miss that on Payne and Pendergast tomorrow. And I am going to need some help. I am, Ron.
Get this man a water, stat.
Ron. I am Ron, the show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Wow.
When the day that lies ahead of me seems impossible.
Would you be all right if he's like, hey, man, my parents really love Zach Top, and I want to take my lady, and the four tickets are Blaine, his parents, who really love Zach Top?
Yo, Blaine's mom, though?
Whew. Fine.
Tyler.
I might do. I might be like, hey, Blaine, all right, your mom can go, okay? But tell Brad that I'm taking that ticket.
Tell Brad to work at overtime. I'm taking his wife to the rodeo.
Brad and his mustache, they can stay home.
Brad and his stash.
Is it a thick one?
Tyler Miller says he's still real optimistic.